for me, shall we? We're going to make this our opening hymn. Let's stand together while we sing. Let's sing the very best on this hymn. It's 312, standing while we sing. Let's all stand, let's sing the very best.
Christ, the good news have been preached from this pulpit. Thank you, Lord, for every meeting that we have had these weeks. But, oh Lord, we pray that tonight the gospel will be preached again. We thank you, Lord, for the open door. Thank you for the open Bible. Thank you, Lord, for your gospel going forth every night. And thank you, Lord, for gathering your people, for gathering everyone that has been coming in these weeks. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here tonight. And we pray, O Lord, especially for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ yet as their own and personal Savior. For those who are not sure that if they died today, where would they be? We pray, O Lord, that tonight they will come to Jesus Christ. O Lord, that they will see their sins. They will see that they have no escape. They will see that there is no other way into heaven, only by Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. O Lord, and that they will come. Oh, that they will come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance of their sins and faith in the sacrifice that Christ did on the cross. Father, we pray especially for Mr. Park tonight as he comes forth with the gospel of Christ. Oh, Lord, anoint him with that Holy Ghost. And we pray, O Father, that your word will be preached, that the Holy Ghost will speak through him, and that we will hear and we will be convicted. Father, we also pray for those that will be singing tonight, Lord, use those words in singing. And we pray, O Lord, that those words will penetrate into the hearts. We pray, O Lord, for that one that will be coming and bringing a word of testimony. We pray, O Lord, for Andrew Hegarty, that you will be with him. O Lord, that he will lift up the Savior as you have done all those things in his life. O Father, thank you for everything that will be happening tonight. And we pray, O Lord, that sinners will come in repentance of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer. We ask all these things, O Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Alex. You'll know from Alex's accent that he wasn't brought up in Stewart Park. And of course, our brother is from the land of Spain, and we continue to remember him as he studies with the college along with our other students from the congregation. Now, the one thing that this mission has been, it has been unpredictable, because sometimes the way things were planned didn't always work out the way that they were planned.
Tell them there's lots of seats up here.
There's plenty of seats up at the front. These are the cheaper ones up at the front.
These are planned ones. There's a few in there as well.
So sometimes we have to make some changes. And tonight is no different. You probably didn't see any difference, but I can assure you some of us did see that there were some changes that we had to make. Last night we were blessed to have one of the current students here at the school, Kerry Halliday, who gave a word of testimony. And we have two young people in the young people's choir that's going to sing to us, but who are just past pupils of the school. Of course, I'm referring to Chrissy Blair and to Lydia Picken. And I'm going to ask Chrissy first to come and to give a brief word of testimony. Then, on ahead, I'll keep talking until you get here. And after Chrissy, the young people will come up to sing, and then Lydia will give a brief word of testimony. This is just to make Andrew feel all the more comfortable that he's in his own age bracket amongst those who are testifying tonight. Chrissy, God bless you.
Good evening, folks. It's nice to be here tonight, and I would just like to start off by thanking our youth leader Samuel for giving me this opportunity, and just thank the Lord that I have a testimony to give and share with you all this evening. If there's one verse that would sum up my testimony, it would be found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, which says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The majority of you know me here, but for those of you who don't, my name is Christopher Blair, but I'm more commonly called Chrissy or Young Beagle, which I don't know whether if that's a good thing or a bad thing. My parents are Gina and Stephen, but again, the majority of you only know as Beagle. I would just like to publicly thank both my parents and my wee granny Noah for all they've done to me to support me no matter what I've done. And for sending me to different meetings throughout the church, such as Sunday school, children's meetings, and the Sunday services. I grew up being sent to these meetings where I was taught about the Bible and taught I needed to be saved. And it wasn't until about the age of around 8 that I decided to trust and follow the Lord. It was after a Tuesday night meeting where one of our elders, Jonathan McCullough, was speaking. That night I went home scared about the thought that if I died, I would be in hell forever. So that night, at my bedside, I laid down and prayed that the Lord would save me and cleanse me from my sins. And as it says in Acts 3, in the verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, being from the big city of Ballinamore, I attended Ballinamore Primary School, where all my friends knew I was a Christian, and they didn't really mind. But coming in here to secondary school, I didn't know how I was going to tell my new classmates. But the Lord prepared the way, and one of my friends from primary school ended up in the same class as me and told all my new classmates for me. A difference between me and the majority of other people that's already given me testimonies throughout these past weeks is that the majority of the teachers that taught me are still here at the school, and I would say that some of the teachers have enjoyable memories of me, whilst others maybe not. I always remember such times as vicious races and down a junior corridor in the wee ICT seats with the wheels in the bottom of them, or numerous debates with my French teacher about why you had to learn French when this country speaks English. Through all the fun and the laughs, I have to admit I enjoyed my time here. Talking about school, I'd just like to say a quick thanks here to all the Sunday school teachers I had over my 14 years of Sunday school. Every year was a blessing, and even now in the Bible class, I'd like to thank Phil and Mervyn for teaching us more and more about the Lord. In 2011, my family came under a hard time when my Uncle Chris became very seriously ill. I was on the life support machine for months on end. During this point in my life, I started to slip away from the Lord and wasn't reading my Bible, praying as I had done previously, and was getting caught up in the things of the world. It wasn't until about January 2012 that I came back to the Lord after a meeting with a text that night. Was Romans 3 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That text reminded me and remained on my mind the rest of the night. And it wasn't until I got home again that I got down and prayed for the Lord to forgive me for deserting him and not having God first in my life. Around the same time as this, my friends at school started to get involved with things of the world, and they're starting to drink and whatever. And I just knew I can't hang around these boys anymore. Well, not the same as I was. But the Lord forbade it, and it was a day or two after Joshua Warwick, or JP as I would know, invited me to a football themed birthday party in the Joey Law Center. Before this, I hadn't spoken to him, I hadn't spoken to Lewis McCall, I hadn't spoken to Daniel Blair, and to be honest, I thought they were a bunch of rare boys. But regardless, I went, and now I couldn't really say a bad word about them. I'd like to publicly thank all of them because they've just helped me through a lot. They started going into their fellowship, and I know the three of them are friends for life, whether I like it or not. Along with this, I also made good friends with the rest of the boys that joined our wee group and all sit in the back there. And I just thank them for being a good influence in my life, or at least enjoy it, I think. Just at this point, talking about the youth fellowship, I'd like to thank our leader Samuel and the youth committee and any others who help out with the youth, because without you, the rest of the youth fellowship and no youth weekends, which are always a great encouragement. Last year, 2017, was a big year for the family again. And this year I attended my first ever funeral, which is nothing to be proud about, but it was the funeral of my own grandma. My granny was a great older woman and was a founding member of the Boys Brigade in Drumrea. I love seeing her own boys and then her grandsons grow up through the brigade and achieve the highest award, which was the Queen's Badge. I was the last boy she's seen receive this before she passed away. But even through my granny's death, the Lord found a way to bless the family. This way was by saving my own father last year out in the mission in Ballymore. And I'd like to thank all of those who prayed for my father, and especially thank my own pastor here for everything he has done for us, and especially last year. I finally like to just thank the Lord for all that he's done for me, and never leaving me or forsaking me, although I've let him down many times. The Lord is my anchor, and it says in the BB hymn, a personal favourite of mine, 305, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure when the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, round it firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Amen.
the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, I have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, where both my parents were saved, and I was faithfully sent out to Sunday school and church, and so from an early age I knew my need of salvation. But one night, my family and I left home from a meeting. For me it was really the fear of going to hell that scared me. I didn't want to die and go to hell, and really that was the fear that led me to ask the Lord into my heart. So from an early age I could see it. And so it says in Romans chapter 10 verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's what I done. And then after primary I attended VHS, as it's known, or Ballina High School. And so I attended here for 5 years. The first year was a dream. Second year was a wee bit tougher because I ended up having to get an operation. And it was just a bad area in my shoulder that I had to get fixed at the time. I was playing netball and I hurt my shoulder and really put it into the vest kind of thing. So then I had to go to the hospital and get that taken out, which was a hard time actually. And then Grandma wasn't well, Grandma had died, it was just a hard time. So we really needed prayer, and thanks to all who prayed for us at that time, the elders and everyone. I love Grandma, I just say thank you so much. Just found out all the faces. And so just at this kind of the mission, I just say to anyone who isn't saved or out of Christ, that really Jesus says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, if you don't have to turn to it, "Come round, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as well." And, you know, for me, who haven't been saved, I've been saved since I was 6 or 7, you know, I've been saved for a while, but it's not easy. And obviously, you know, there's tests and trials every single day, but for anybody that's not saved, you know, Jesus is coming soon. And so my prayer tonight would be that some soul does get saved. The amount of invitations and things that's went out in the past 2 or 3 weeks. You know, all things are now ready. Jesus says, come. And so my mission tonight is just to say, come.
Yeah. We've had glasses fallen. We've had my watch fallen, we have shoes coming off, we have platform coming apart. Apart from that, everything's fine. So, I just thank our young people. We are blessed, our young people, that the Lord is blessed. And we always thank Chrissy. I'm just glad to say that he didn't say the two rare boys was fooling me. But the boys are on some outcome. So thank you both to young people, to Lydia, Chrissy, for giving a word of testimony for young people as they sang. We're going to change our position. We're going to sing a verse of the hymn 310. That's just to give Andrew a wee bit more time. Just going to sing the first verse and the chorus. "Redeem, how I love to proclaim." Salvation is about the redemptive work of Christ. "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim." Redeemed by the blood. We'll just sing the first verse and the chorus standing while we sing. stand to sing.
Breathing how I love to proclaim, breathing by the blood of the Lamb, breathing through His infinite mercy, His silent forever crying, breathing by the blood of the Lamb,
also to have with us our brother Mr. Andrew Hegarty. You know, when you see young men coming around the church, you know they're up to something. And then when you see them starting to date young girls out of the church, you definitely know they're up to something. And so we were blessed when we saw Andrew coming around the congregation, and we have always been blessed by the fact that he is amongst us. By the way, Andrew, I ask you to come and testify. I take all this stuff with you, with me, so it doesn't fall. I'll give you that.
Testimony. Did you maybe see me come up with a glass of water there? You thought, boys, he's for speaking a while tonight. But it's, you may be hearing my voice the last couple of days. It's been starting to go, and in case it is going tonight, I just brought a glass of water. But my personal testimony on how the Lord saved me, you know, He blessed me from a young age that I was born into a Christian home. You know, my parents were saved, and they loved the Lord, and they sent us along to church faithfully each and every week, with the blessing of going to Covenant for Youth, to this Youth Fellowship. And the boys were gained in so many other things. You know, just because we knew that we needed salvation in the blood of Jesus, it was all I had knowledge. You know, there was nothing in the heart. And as I went through primary school, you know, we just had two sisters and a brother. And we just enjoyed time together, you know, as any young children do, playing games and, you know, whatever else could we could get up to. So then I came to Ballymoney High School, and through my time there I really enjoyed it as well, you know, meeting new friends. It wasn't until at the church at the time, we had no minister and there was a moderator in place, and my brother and sister and I started to take membership classes. You know, we really got to know about God's word, so and about how Jesus came to die on the cross for our sin, so as in how much we needed salvation if we wanted to get into heaven. As I said, it was all just the head knowledge. There was nothing within the heart, so there wasn't, you know. And saying, you know, I went away from that, and I started to make the wrong choices in life regarding who I had friends, who I made friends with, and what I'd done, and who, you know, the places I started to go. I remember when I was in my mid-teens, one of the first times I ever had an alcoholic drink was at a family barbecue. An aunt sneaked me and a friend, and I believe my brother was maybe even there also, and that was just a vodka. And from then on, it seemed as only a drink, and it didn't do anything. That drink led to more and more. And before I knew it, I was heading to places like pubs and clubs and that, which I shouldn't have been. And it led even to lies and deceit behind my family's back. I knew that I was pushing the things of God further out of my life. That led to so many other foolish and sinful choices. You know, I am ashamed of it. I'm not proud to stand here and boast about what I've done. But I believe alcohol is the devil's friend. It errs your judgment. Whether that be one drink or many, it leads to a host of sin. And God's word's clear on it. Says in Proverbs, wine is a mock when a strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. But it wasn't just the alcohol I was caught up in. was the foul language that I used, the immorality, the deceit, the lies, the disrespect of the Lord's day. I was so far away in sin, with no thought for God, His Word, or the Saviour. Yet God was merciful to me. For in 1 Timothy 1:15 it says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And I even remember Mom trying to talk to me, you know, trying to share the gospel and the things of God with me. But, you know, even many of my, you know, she did, none of the, my parents didn't agree with me going out with the things I was doing, but they were always faithful to make sure I got home. And they always tried to share the gospel, yet I hadn't time for it. My response, I remember saying one time, was, "But sure, God is the God of love." And yes, that is true. He is a God of love. For we know in the well-known verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish." But He's also a God of repentance. And as Christopher said earlier, and I remember the first, when I took part in the Ballinamore community, when we were doing the outreach for the children, and the first memory verse that they were doing was at Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, so your sins may be blotted out." And as a sinner, I didn't see that. I was in fact blind to my need of salvation. I wanted to live life the way I wanted to live it. And it wasn't until 6 years ago I cut the tendon in my left hand due to a farming accident. And I ended up unable to work. And that's when I started to question God. And I started to blame Him. You know, I had forgotten about Him. I had pushed Him out of my life. I had gone to all the things that He had blessed me with. But who was I to question the One who created this whole world? The One who had me in the palm of His hand? And it was around that same time, or that same day, that I thought it would be a good idea to head out with a few friends for a drink. But it turned out to be a lot more. And when I came home that night, I continued to drink. And with that, I took numerous amounts of prescription tablets, ending myself up in hospital. And it is only through the prayers of my parents and the grace of God, I did not end up in a lost eternity. And that was the lowest point in my life. You see, over the 10 to 12 years, I pushed God away, everything that I was taught. And I am ashamed, as I said earlier on. And nothing to be proud of. For I had done was, God had begun at this point to speak to my heart. Because I had been asked many times to come to church, but I wouldn't go. I just kept rejecting. I didn't want to hear the gospel. But on this occasion, my sister asked me to come out and hear God's word. Saying I went, and God's word was preached faithfully. And I remember being convicted of my sin. And I went away that night with a hunger to go back the following week. And I remember Mr. Park was preaching on Matthew 7:13-14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto life. Or broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it." And I started asking questions. And I started to read God's word again. And I still had worldly desires. I remember New Year's Eve that year, standing in the rugby club, knowing that I shouldn't be there. And God was convicting me at that time of my sin. And I remember leaving early that night. And I continued to go to church. And I remember feeling still very convicted of my sin. And it came to that time at the end of January, or the 3rd of January, it was the week of prayer. And my sister asked me to go out that Friday night with her. It was, and the following day, I was meant to play football. But it was all part of God's plan that football was called off. So it was due to the bad weather. So my other sister asked me if we went to the town, we went for a coffee, something that I had never done before. And we get chatting about things of God. So then she asked, or I asked her, was she saved? And she told me yes. And as soon as I had asked her the question and she had answered, she turned to me and asked me the same question. There were tears in my eyes to just tell her, no, that I wasn't. And I knew if I were to die, that I would be in a lost eternity. When I got out of the car, I remember going in home and went straight down to my room. And I began to read Psalm 40. It was there I knelt at the side of the bed and asked the Lord Jesus into my heart and to forgive my sin. I just want to share with you a few verses from Psalm 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined on to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in him, trust in the Lord. I say, I remember them, that psalm very well, because we were brought up in church, you know, to memorise that psalm, to know what it meant. Yet, it was just in my head, you know, but I never really thought. And it wasn't until that day that I knelt down inside my bed that I really truly understood what that meant, you know. And at that moment, I put my trust in the Lord. He heard my cry and saved me from my sin. And since being saved, the Lord has blessed me with a Christian wife who's loving and caring and needs the patience of Job with my timekeeping, or should I say, the lack of it, because probably many of you know me at the end of it. So, but we also have been blessed with the wee boy, Seth. With that, it gives me added responsibility of teaching him the things of God. And a passage I love to read and share with him is found in Deuteronomy 6, if you'd like to turn with me, if you have your Bible. It's verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. He saith the Father, it's my prayer that the Lord will save Seth from young age by his grace. But God has also blessed me in other ways. He gave me the opportunity to go out with Vision for Kids to Kenya. You know, it really touched my heart to see the love for the Lord out in Kenya and be able to do his work out there. And he has also given me the opportunity to work at home on the farm where we have milk cows and laying hens. And since being saved, I see God's hand in all aspects of the farm. You know, from when we sow the barley or from when a calf is born or whatever, you know, we can do our best, but at the end of the day, it's up to the Lord what he does. Ultimately, you know, they're his animals. You see, life as a Christian isn't always easy. And each day, as you know, it's a battle against sin and against the devil. You know, we can say things and do things we shouldn't. We will never be perfect in this life, but God forgives and promises to keep us. For his word says in Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So I'd just like to leave a challenge with you here tonight. If you're not saved, you know, maybe you've committed sin. You know, at the end of the day, Paul says, you know, that he was the chiefest of all sinners, and I stand here guilty of sinners, anybody. But you know, you're never too far away to get saved. You're never too far away for God to forgive you your sin. And it's just simply, as it was said earlier, just come just as you are.
Continue to pray that God in His time will bring those in the Lord Christ unto Himself. Andrew, thank you. God bless you and Jessica. That one, you know, that many more is getting bigger as the days go by. We trust the Lord will continue to bless you in your Christian life. Just a few announcements that we want to make. Again, thank you for coming. It's a joy to see all who've come again tonight to the final midweek meeting of the Gospel Mission. We thank you for your faithfulness, we thank you for your attendance, and we do sincerely appreciate all the efforts that have been made in coming night by night. To those who are watching via Facebook or Sermon Audio, we trust that the Lord will continue to bless you as you listen in to the service. There's just one thing that we want to do before we conclude the announcements, and that is, without the care and attention of the caretakers in this school, this mission would not have been able to have run so well. And I want publicly, on behalf of our session committee and congregation, to express a sincere word of thanks to the caretakers. And one of them is with us tonight, Mr. Dennis Maynard. And Dennis, we're going to ask you to come up now. He knows that we were going to do this. I said I wouldn't embarrass him. I'm not going to do that. But he has been an absolute joy to work with, along with Nigel, who's unable to be here. Let me just ask Mr. Park to come up. Dennis, we want to thank you sincerely for all your help.
Thank you.
You're the most pleasant caretaker. When I was here at school, the caretaker wasn't as pleasant. But maybe I was a wee bit better behaved this last two or three weeks. And Mr. Park just wants to give you a small token.
Desi, you've been an excellent caretaker. We have a good caretakers and outreach missions, but you've gone the second mile, and we want to thank you sincerely for that. So you can either sing now or sing. Just like to give you this. It's a little gift and a copy of God's Word, and we trust it will be a blessing to you.
Thank you very much. That's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
That's right.
We also have a similar gift for Nigel, and Lord willing, he'll be here in the Lord's Day. We also intend to call with the principal, and there's a gift for the school, as well also as paying for the use of the school as well. We want to just make you clear to do that as well. Do remember the final service of the Gospel Mission. How quickly time passes. And Sunday afternoon at 3:30, you'll have the final service here in the hall. Time of prayer, 3 p.m. Do remember, let's continue to keep praying, and God will continue to bless in the preaching of His Word. And then the service at 3:30, when the Hebron Choir will be along to sing, and Mr. Aaron McCauley will be giving a brief word of testimony. Now, in relation to the choir, there's an announcement, there's a summons from Sylvia to the choir. There will be another short choir practice after the Sunday morning service. Full attendance is a requested, please, immediately after the morning service, if the choir members, the Hebron choir, would go to the Carson complex. And just also for our young people, just to remind them that tomorrow night they're having their fellowship time in Machafelth, and I think it's 5:45. Is that right?
Bus leaves, yeah.
Bus leaves at 5:45 from the church. So we just ask the young people to remember that, please. Let's turn to the hymn number 233. And we'll just sing the first two verses of the hymn, to change our position before the Reverend Clark comes to minister God's word. 233. Once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you've heard. 233, standing to sing verses 1 and 2. Let's stand by the sing.
Once again, the gospel message of the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn to seek the Lord? Unbelieving, unto Jesus word and prayer.
Service tonight, others that have helped at the mission also. I've been blessed listening to the testimonies tonight. The grace of God has triumphed in these young lives. So it's a night that young people are taking part, young people's choir, and I think of Chrissy and Liddy and Andrew and myself, you know, sort of in that bracket too. Just old Mervyn there in England, but the rest of it are all young people. And we're glad to be here to share with you the Word of God. And then we had Cinderella Johnson. You get to see things when you're sitting there, and one of our young people lost her shoe getting up into the platform tonight. But I'm glad she got it back. There's an awful smell at the front here. But I said, you know, it's better losing your shoe than falling, because I didn't see what happened. Was it last night? And the lady was coming up there on the side, and down she went. And she told us that afterwards. Always good to tell these things so that we can retell them. Used to say, don't worry, there's only two people will tell, those that ask and those that don't. Let us turn the Word of God tonight to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. If you've been attending the mission over the last 2 weeks, you will know that we have a theme: men who make mistakes to the loss of their precious souls. We've taken this theme because very often at a mission like this, mistakes were made, tragic mistakes were made, as people come to the mission, listen to the Word of God, and they leave and they continue as they are in their sin without Christ, and it's a tragedy. Missions are convened for the hearing of the word, and that men might come and listen to the gospel. It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. and we want it to be so. We want to see that power shed abroad in these meetings and changing lives. You're not saved tonight. We dearly long in our hearts that you will come to the Saviour. And I know that from the prayers of God's people and the burden that is being felt at this mission time. I'm going to speak tonight on the mistake of walking away from Christ. I'm going to read about a man here who did just that. The mistake of walking away from Christ and missing eternal life. Because we'll see a man here who came inquiring about eternal life, but he left without that which he inquired about. And that's a tragedy. We call him the rich young ruler. His name's not given, but he's known as the rich young ruler. Verse 16 of Matthew 19. And behold, one came and said unto him, that's unto Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, or complete, or sincere, perfectly happy, you could put those words in there, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We'll bow in prayer, please. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the testimonies this evening to the triumph of divine grace in the lives of these young people who have spoken of the time when they came to trust in the merit of Christ. We thank thee for the singing of the young people too. This has been a testimony in itself, pointing us to Christ. We thank thee that he is the rock of ages. And we thank thee for your word. Quick and powerful as it is, we praise thee that it is able to give light and understanding. And we pray that thou wilt teach us, Lord, the gospel afresh tonight. Speak to every heart. Warm the hearts of your people. Thank thee for the blessings that this mission has been to us as your people. But Lord, remember the unconverted. Lord, help them to sit up and listen for these minutes now. Open their heart to the things of God. And don't let them walk away without Christ. Don't let them commit such a terrible thing tonight, leaving this school building still in their sin. Give us help now to bring the message, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The story that we have read here tonight from the Gospel of Matthew is one of the most tragic that we have in all the scriptures. It is also one of the most touching. Touching because we have a young man who is moved in his heart to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. He has hopes, he has desires that were honourable, and the story begins so well. As we put the record of the Gospels together, we find that he comes running to Christ with great haste to meet the Saviour. We also discover that he comes kneeling, casts himself at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. And he also comes acknowledging something about the Lord, that the Lord was indeed a great leader. Not knowing perhaps everything about the Saviour at this time, he did know enough to call him good master and speaks to him very respectfully. And he comes inquiring. He wants to know the way of eternal life. But the story is also tragic because this young man with so much potential, story starting so well, coming running and kneeling and inquiring after these things, he leaves the presence of Christ without obtaining everlasting life. The very burden that was in his heart and in his soul would keep. He left Christ's presence. Undoubtedly, Jesus Christ touched the lives of thousands when he was here upon the earth. Wherever he went, preaching the gospel, performing miracles, showing deeds of kindness, he influenced multitudes. The vast majority were kindly disposed towards him throughout the majority of his ministry. The crowds thronged his congregations, gathered around the Lord. And so by the time you reach Matthew chapter 19, the public ministry of our Saviour is almost over. It's not many weeks now before he would go to the cross. Who Christ was and what he came to do was now widely known right throughout Israel. He had come to save men from their sins. He had come to seek out souls for his kingdom. He had come to rescue men from hell and destruction. He had come to give his life as a ransom for many. He had come to forgive sin and bestow pardon. In fact, in the previous chapter, in verse 11, he declared, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." And here we have a little summary of the entire ministry of Christ. He came to save the lost. So the rich young ruler had knowledge. He recognized Christ as a mighty teacher. He believed that he had the answer to the great burden that was burning in his heart. How can I have eternal life? How can I be saved? How can I go to heaven? How can I be assured that it will be well with me at the point of death when I leave this scene of time? How can I be certain of future happiness? The tragedy of this story is seen in the fact that this young man walked away from the Saviour. He left the presence of the Lord without settling the matter of his soul's salvation. There is no doubt that in gospel meetings and missions, just like the one we've been having here in the high school, there are many who are just like him. They come so near to Christ. They have understanding of many wonderful truths about the Saviour. They possess hopes and aspirations and are filled with desire, but they turn away and they leave without salvation and life. I'm convinced that there are many who have attended these meetings and you have drawn up close to the Son of God. Their hearts have been touched. An interest has been created. And they've had desires for eternal life. But alas, night by night, they've been walking away, going out through the doors there of the high school without the Saviour. Now you know tonight that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. You know tonight that he is the door to heaven. There's no other entrance, there's no other way whereby a man can be saved than through Jesus Christ. And you know tonight that he died upon the cross for your sin. The great sacrifice that we made was to take away our sin. I just wonder this evening, what are you going to do? I wonder you're going to make the mistake that this young man did. Having drawn up so near to the Lord, maybe even with burning desires in your heart that you would like to be saved, that you would like heaven and eternal life at the end of the journey, and yet just to walk away. Don't make that mistake tonight. As I was pondering over this passage of Scripture, there are just a few things that I want to leave with you that came to my mind. First of all, this man had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that one came unto him. One came unto him. It's always a lovely thing when you see individuals seeking out Christ. They are more than just a person in the crowd, if you know what I mean. It must have been a wonderful thing just to be a person in the crowd when Christ walked upon the scene of time. Just to have attended one of his services, to listen to one of his messages, maybe even to see him perform a mighty deed, a mighty miracle, when he was here in this life. But there were those who stepped out of the crowd, and they desired something from him. Sometimes it was a healing miracle, like the woman who had the issue of blood. She stepped out of the crowd thinking that the Lord didn't see her, or didn't know that she was stepping out of the crowd, just to touch the hem of his garment. She had faith to believe that if she reached out and even just touched the Lord, she would be healed, and she was healed. And the Lord knew all about her, of course, and knew that virtue had gone out from him. Or maybe like blind Bartimaeus sitting there at the wayside, Jericho City, when he heard that Jesus was passing that way. In that sense, he also stepped out of the crowd and he began to cry, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." Until he had arrested the attention of Christ and Jesus stood still. And he bid Bartimaeus to come to him. "What is it that I can do for you, Bartimaeus?" "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And the healing miracle was wrought, and Bartimaeus had his eyes opened that day. Or maybe in the case of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, young girl, his only daughter, his only child, I believe, 12 years of age, and she was gravely sick. She was at the point of death. And so he steps out of the crowd, makes his appeal to the Lord, "Come and touch my daughter and heal my child." Then, of course, the news coming that the child had actually died. "No, don't trouble him any longer. She's dead. There's no point in Christ coming." But Jairus still had faith to believe that the Lord could do something, and he did. And he not only healed the child, but he raised the child to life again, and she had full health. So there were those that stepped out of the crowd and they came for a healing miracle. At other times it was regarding spiritual needs, the needs of their soul. They wanted to be saved. They wanted to get right with God. I think we can say that with regard to Nicodemus in the early part of the Lord's ministry. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was not coming because he was sick. He was not coming because there was a family member that was sick or dead. He was coming because he wanted to talk to the Lord about spiritual things. And the Lord entered into that conversation about the new birth and about the cross and about the love of God and all those things. And Nicodemus came to trust in Christ as the Savior. Or we think of Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he sought to see Jesus. Curiosity had been roused in his life and his heart. And again, he wasn't a sick man stepping out because he wanted to be healed of some malady that had come into his body. But he wanted to see the Lord. And we know that day when he climbed the sycamore tree, the Lord stopped, called him down. And he went home with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus found the Savior that day. Wonderfully. Converted. Received everlasting life. You can say the same later on in the history when the Lord was not on earth any longer. But the Philippian jailer
He had a spiritual desire. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And here in Matthew 19, the rich young ruler, he came with a spiritual desire. He wasn't a sick man, wasn't stepping out of the crowd because there was some disease in his body. No, I want to know the way of eternal life. So some came to meet the Savior because they had a disease. Others came because they had a devil. Others came because they had a dead relative. We know that there were those who came to criticize. Others who came out of curiosity because the fame of Christ had spread abroad. But praise God, others came because they wanted to know the way to heaven. They wanted to know how they could be saved. And I wonder, I've been wondering this today regarding the mission here. Why do you come? Why have you attended the mission here in the high school? Well, you might say because a friend invited me. Well, that's a good thing that you came at that invitation. Or you might say, I have come because I wanted to hear a testimony some particular evening, and that person invited me to come, and therefore I made my way to the school. And some might say, well, I enjoy the singing, and it's good to enjoy the singing, and I think we've been blessed in the hymns that we've sung at the mission. And then others might say, well, I come because I find the company of God's people pleasing. And you know, that's a real testimony to the Lord's people. There are unconverted people that like to come to church, like to come to missions, because they enjoy the company of those who know the Savior. All that you would come unto him. This man came unto Christ, and he had an encounter with the Lord. He came to meet the Lord. And that's my prayer, that you would come to meet Christ, that you would come to find him in the Word, and seek salvation and seek eternal life. Because I noticed in verse 16, in the second place, that this man had a burden. He had a concern right here in the heart. And that was to do with eternal life. Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, he had enough sense to know and to understand that there was an afterlife. He believed in the immortality of the soul. He believed that the grave was not the end, the death was not the end. He believed that there was an eternity. So we know that he was a religious man. He was a ruler. He wasn't a Sadducee, therefore, because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in a future life. It's more likely that this young man was a young Pharisee. And he wanted to know how he might have eternal life. He wanted to know that it would be well with him at the point of death. And so he makes this inquiry. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now undoubtedly, it was a rare thing for someone so young and someone so rich to inquire after such a thing. It's not very often that young people or rich people possess such desires. Sadly, in more than the majority of cases, the world takes over. Spiritual matters do not often enter their mind, and they are taken up with the rush of the world, with the things of time, with the occupations of this earth, and the pleasures and the pursuits of earthly things. But here is a man with a burden. I wonder tonight, have you got a burden in your heart? Have you got a concern? Are you troubled about spiritual and eternal things? Do you consider your soul? Do you think about the afterlife? Do you think about your existence beyond the grave? Do you think about your everlasting destiny? And that's a good thing, to ponder these things. Do you inquire? Do you go a step further? This young man inquired about these things. Do you inquire after the way of eternal life? Does this concern of your heart bring you to ask questions and seek answers? Because that's also a good thing. And this young man had a burden. Do you? I might point out what seems to be an error in his question, because he says, what good thing shall I do Now I know in a sense there is something that the sinner needs to do, and that is to repent of his sin or her sin and to believe the gospel. He needs to take that step of faith that brings him into Christ. But in reality, there's nothing that he can do to become an inheritor of eternal life. Because this young man needed to know, and you and I need to know, that it's all been done. It's all been done by another. What do I need to do to have eternal life? The simple answer to that is nothing. Because Jesus has done it all. He has paid it all upon the cross of Calvary. But he had a burden. And then look at the words there that we read from verse 17, really through to verse 20. This man had an outward form of religion. He says to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" It was likely true that he sought to keep the commandments of God, at least outwardly. I don't think that he had defiled himself with the external violation of the law. What do I mean by that? Well, I don't think he was a murderer, that he had actually physically taken another man's life. I don't think that he was an adulterer, that he had lain with another man's wife. I don't think that he was a thief, that he had robbed other people. I don't think that he was a liar, a conscious liar in that sense. And it's possible that he was a model son, that he had honoured his father and his mother as he grew up as a young man. He gave them respect and obeyed the fifth commandment. And it was likely that he was kind to his neighbour also. And there are many like him in this day. And the common grace of God, of course, contributes to that. You know, there's the special grace of God that lays hold upon a man and brings him savingly unto Christ, works effectually in his life and saves that man. But there's also that common grace of God that brings a certain amount of morality to a community, that the whole world is not rushing, and every member of that world, into all these deep sins. However, had this young man grasped the truth of God's law, he would have seen himself as a sinner. And he would have been brought to see himself as a transgressor of the law of God. And he would have said, "All these things have I broken from my youth up." Because in our hearts we violate every law of God. And the understanding both of the Old Testament and the New Testament of the law of God goes much further than the outward act of murder, the outward act of adultery. The Lord taught this very clear in the New Testament, that if a man in his heart lusts after a woman, he's committed adultery, he has broken that law. If a man has hatred in his heart towards a brother, he's like a murderer. That's the interpretation of the law. And so this young man undoubtedly had broken the law of God in his heart. Having said that, I believe that he is to be commended in a human sense for not being involved in what we would call the deep-dyed sins of society. He was living an upright, religious, outwardly moral life, but it was not enough. Such things could never bring him eternal life. And I think he knew that. For after boasting in his morality, he had to ask the question, "What lack I yet? Lord, can you tell me what's missing? Can you tell me what still needs to be done? Can you tell me what else must be found in me for me to inherit eternal life?" Look at verse 21. This man had a direct appeal from the lips of Christ as the Lord instructs him. And Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, first of all, there was a test to his sincerity. Was he really sincere about eternal life? Was he really genuine? Did he really want salvation more than anything else? Did he really want to be saved? Go sell that thou hast. And that was a mighty test. Was he willing to give up all for Jesus? Was he willing to part with the thing that he loved the most? It seems that riches was his God. The Lord looked into his heart, and undoubtedly, and we see that from the passage here, the young man was a covetous man, and he loved his riches, and he had great possessions. He was a very wealthy man. Now, God doesn't ask everyone to do this. Didn't ask Nicodemus to do it. Didn't ask Joseph of Arimathea to do it. They were wealthy men too. But he asked this young man to give up his riches. He doesn't ask everyone. He does ask everyone to give up their sin. He does ask everyone to part with their worldly ways and to forsake the things that are the pleasures of this world. And so there is a test given to this young man. Go and sell what you have. Give to the poor. And then there's a command. Come, follow me. Giving up riches does not bring salvation. Giving up anything does not bring salvation. It's not what we give up. But coming to Christ and following him does bring eternal life. And when you come, the Lord Jesus says, come and follow me. When you come to Christ, you are accepting him for who he is. And what he came to do. That's very important. And Jesus says, come to me. Come and follow me. It is to trust in Jesus Christ and believe who Jesus is. That he is God manifest in the flesh. That he is the Savior of men. And it is to believe what he came to do. He came to represent men in this world. To represent sinners in his life and in his death. He came to die upon the cross of Calvary to take away our sin. And so, when you come to Christ, you are believing who he is and what he did. But I want you to notice, finally, look there at verse 22. This man walked away from the Savior. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It's one of the saddest scenes in all the Bible. As it is still one of the saddest happenings today. Whether it happened back here in the New Testament scriptures, or whether it happens at this gospel mission or any other gospel mission or meeting that we hold, when a person comes to get so close to Christ and have this burden in their heart, wanting salvation, wanting eternal life, to walk away is one of the greatest tragedies that can ever happen. You see, he had a desire to be saved. We know that. He had a keenness that brought him running to the Lord. He had sorrow in his heart as he thought about what he was missing, and then also what he was going to have to give up. And you know, he was loved by the Lord. The record of Mark tells us that. That Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This young man, wanting eternal life, coming to the feet of the Savior, coming running, coming kneeling, coming in quiet. Jesus beheld him. Jesus looked at him. And the Word of God says that he loved him. And more than that, he went away from Christ without eternal life. He went away never to return to Christ again. Now you want to mark the language. You want to see how it shows us something of the infinite sadness and tragedy of a sin. Because there are words building upon words, as the Lord
Then his word shows us tonight what happened here to this young man walking away. If you were just to read that sentence, he went away, that would be tragic. But he not only just went away sorrowful. And he went away without eternal life, the very thing that he came for in the first place. And he went away loved by the Saviour. And my friends, he went away in all likelihood, never looking back, and to trust in Christ. Don't be like him. Learn from him. The Lord wants you to learn from this incident. Why it's here in God's word. Don't walk away without Christ from this mission. Don't walk out through those doors and out through the other doors into the car park and go home tonight without Christ. Because we've seen it again and again. Just like this young man did. We've seen it in gospel missions. People coming and people going. People come in with desires in their heart to be saved. Even express that they wanted to be saved. They wanted eternal life. They wanted to go to heaven. But we have watched them walking away. And in some cases, never to return. And that's tragic. That's an awful mistake to make. Many years ago, I was just a student. The brother, Reverend John Gray, and I used to hold gospel missions together. We like to spend summer time conducting missions here and there. When I was a student in Adara, we held a tent mission in the town that was nearest to us, the town of Rathfelham. It was the second time that we'd gone to this particular town and to this particular plot of land that had been loaned to us by a man who was sympathetic to the gospel. You can imagine going to a mission like that. We had a burden in our heart to see men saved, to see people from the town brought in, but we had a special burden in our heart to see the very man who had loaned us the field to erect the tent and have the mission. I can remember him attending that gospel mission. He did come in several minutes. I can remember the tent being taken down, and we had a special gospel service at the end. It was a kind of a praise service for the mission, and we held it in his barn. We cleaned out the barn, set it out with seats. We had our moderator come just to speak one final night. It was a very powerful meeting. The Lord was there. The Spirit of God was working. And that man was sitting in the mission. And he listened to the word of God and he was troubled. And I believe he desired to be saved. But he didn't get right with God. He did what this young man did and he walked out of the meeting. You know, my friend, 6 months later, he was in eternity. Never come back to another meeting. And as far as we know, never came to Christ. In fact, tragically, he took his own life. Don't walk away as this young man did. Especially if you've got desires in your heart and you've got concern in your soul. I'm speaking to someone now and you desire to be saved. You desire heaven. You would love to have eternal life. You would love to know it's well with your soul. If that's how you feel, the Savior is here. He's been brought near to you. You have been brought near to him. Don't walk away without him. Let us pray. It's real. Happening. This little history that we've read tonight. And it has been given for our learning. We are to be admonished by it. God will teach us the importance of being saved. And if we have desires in our heart for
life eternal. The importance of getting to Christ and giving up whatever has to be given up. If the Lord puts something before us by way of a challenge, certainly we must give up our sin, we must give up the ways of the world, that we might have salvation. We need to come to Christ. Jesus says, come. Come and follow me. We urge you to take that step. We always make ourselves available. We say to you, we're here after the mission. Come and speak to us. We know some people leave wanting to speak, but they just go on out, maybe not having the courage to say something. Well, I trust that God will give you the grace tonight just to say, listen, we'll talk to you, preacher. Want to get right with God tonight. Want to make sure it's well with me for the great eternity of God. And so we leave that invitation with you. O Almighty God and gracious Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee for this occasion when the Lord met this young man and you put it into the record of Scripture that we might be spoken to and taught of God. And Lord, if there are any in this meeting and concern, and they're daring to walk away from Christ, don't let them do it. In Jesus' name, bring them to the Savior. Bring them now. Bring them tonight. For now is the day of salvation. Hear this, our prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen. Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, some dear brother, some dear sister, some friend tonight here. Why do you wait? Why do you tarry? Because your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. In other words, he's willing and able, waiting to save you. Why not come to him now? We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 only, and I'll stand to sing. Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Amen.